Good afternoon, and thank you for standing by. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Your lines are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star followed by the number one to ask a question. Please unmute your phones and state your name when prompted. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Larry Curley. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much. This is Larry Curley. I'm with the National Lending Council on Aging. I'm the Executive Director, and we've been having these weekly phone calls for the last month and a half or so, and I really appreciate the opportunity to have this time for you to understand here what's happening nationally and what's happening at the local level. And so an opportunity to talk about the impact of COVID-19 on tribes, and I appreciate that opportunity. So without further ado, I understand that we have like about an hour or so due to some other pending phone calls as well. So we'll move right ahead, and we have Michelle from the Administration for Native Americans who is on and will be providing some information to you as well. So Michelle, all yours.
Great. Thank you so much, Mr. Curley. Once again, good afternoon. My name is Michelle Sauve. I am the Executive Director for the Intradepartmental Council on Native American Affairs for the department at HHS. I also work in the with the Administration for Native Americans for Commissioner Hovland, who provided some updates last week. And so we at ANA and ACF, Administration for Children and Families, have a Tribal Advisory Committee. And Commissioner Hovland was very inspired by the conversation last week. And so she had a conversation with our Tribal Advisory Committee, which are made of tribal leaders from the different IHS areas. And several of them shared what they are doing in their communities to support elders. And I know all of you are doing amazing work. But we were just very inspired by some of the ideas, and they were inspired by each other. So I just wanted to share a few highlights, which I'm sure many of you are already also implementing in your communities. But once again, it was just so great to hear all of the support that is happening from tribal leaders in all of your communities that are just stepping up and to support our elders during this very challenging time. For example, our Tribal Advisory Council member from the Pueblo of Pewaukee shared that they've been going to their elders' houses to pick up grocery lists, provide them with any prescriptions they need, and just checking on them so that they don't have to leave their homes. And our Advisory Council member from California was sharing that they're providing their elders about 200 meals a day, and with those, they're providing some care packages to help, you know, with that social isolation, word search games, puzzles, and a questionnaire, so the community knows what their needs are. And some of the things, a lot of the other communities were doing similar things to that, and also providing ways to address elder abuse and or any other urgent needs. And they've been able to do that with community members by some of them have a door hanger system where if they need help, they can have either a door card that they put that's the color red. Another community was using putting an orange piece of paper where it would be visible from the road, and they have for the community in Washington State that's doing the orange paper, they've told everybody in the community that, you know, if you see an orange paper, you know, all of the tribal staff know, all the first responders, everybody, that if they see an orange paper, they know to send someone out to check on that elder, and they send their emergency operation coordination team out to check on them. And then, you know, just making sure that there's food. That was a common theme with everybody. So I know Commissioner Hovland mentioned that we have our funding opportunity announcement open for projects that you may have had an eye on, wish you had additional resources to do. We do have additional bonus points for projects that are to serve elders. So I just wanted to provide those brief updates and just express the admiration that we have for all of you that are serving our community members wherever you are. So thank you for this time.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Are there any questions or comments from people that are listening in?
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question or if you do have any comments, you may press star 1. Again, that is star 1 for any questions or comments, and please unmute your phones and state your name when prompted. At this time, one moment, please. We do have a question. Caller, you may go ahead. We did not get a name recorded. Caller, your line is open. Possibly your mute is on.
Right. Thank you. Sorry about that. My name is Karen Blaine. I'm calling from Thon Otham Nation Senior Services. This is more of a comment to and also a reminder. Our senior service program has been providing home-delivered meals since March 16th. I feel like we need to be recognizing emotional and mental well-being of employees during this time. I can only imagine what it is for the frontline people, but then there is also the people who are continuing to provide services that are essential to elders who are the main people who are being affected by this virus, that it does take some emotional toll on those staff and employees and community members. And so a real recognition and a real effort to provide resources in our community. We are recognizing that the longer that this goes on, that more of an emotional toll it's taking on people. So just to keep it in mind and to make sure people that are make sure they're taking care of themselves, taking time for themselves, have someone to talk to, and have those resources available to them. Thank you.
Ms. Blaine, thank you for that reminder. That is so important. This is Michelle again with ANA. And if it's okay, Jasmine, we got some resources from SAMHSA last week for ANA staff, and I found it very helpful. I'm happy to share it with ACL, so you can share it with your folks. And it is about helping staff take care of themselves and recognize the toll that this is having on us as staff, even though we're very mission-driven to serve our communities. So we'd be happy to share that.
This is Jasmine, and that would be fantastic.
And at this time, I'm showing no further questions. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question.
This is Larry Curley, and if there is no other questions online, we'll move ahead on the agenda. And we have some announcements coming from the Administration for Community Living, Administration on Aging, and Jasmine, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you so much, Larry. So we have quite a few announcements this week, folks, so if you could just bear with me, and I'm just giving you kind of a 3-minute warning to get a pen and paper available because I have quite a few numbers to read out to you today. The first thing I want to announce is that we have the recording and transcript for last week's call available. If you missed last week's call or just kind of want to re-review, please let our team know and we can send that information to you so you can re-review last week's call. The next thing I wanted to say is that especially, you know, in these trying times and always, we definitely want to hear from tribal leadership. So if you're a tribal leader on this call and you have an update or just want to generally share with us what's going on in your community, if you could press star 0 and get into the queue,
definitely want to make sure we hear from leadership. I'll announce that again at the end of the announcements, but I'm just, in the beginning, I want to
actually
ask if,
that is star one if you would like to ask a question. That's okay. Thank you.
So sorry. Star one. So if you are a tribal leader, if you could press star one and get in the queue and would like to make an update about your activities, that would be super helpful. And I'll just keep running down the announcements while you guys do that. The next thing we wanted to talk about is the HHS budget consultation. We've mentioned this at a couple of our Title VI calls, but I just want to do this final reminder that the budget comments are due on May 1st, which is today, and those are due to consultation at hhs.gov. So I encourage tribal leadership to put in their HHS budget comments to consultation at hhs.gov. And those are due today, so I just wanted to flag that for you because this is the deadline. The next thing I want to talk about is that ACL has a new funding opportunity for Alzheimer's grants. We talked about this a bit last week, but I just want to remind you the number for that is 800-627-3229, passcode 5986. To listen to a recording for the training on those Alzheimer's grants. So there's a whole recording that'll tell you everything you need to know. But the deadline for those grants has been extended till June 9th. So we just want to make sure you know that the deadline for Alzheimer's grants is June 9th, and the number to listen to the recording is 800-627-3229, passcode 5986. The next announcement is that we are working on a webinar, which is going to be surrounding Medicaid during the time of COVID-19. That webinar is scheduled to take place next Wednesday, May 6th, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You should have received an appointment for that webinar. If you have not received an appointment, please reach out to us so that we can get that to you, because that should be very informative. Most of you know Elena Seep. She's going to help us out with that webinar. It's going to be fantastic. So, again, that's Wednesday, May 6th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We also talked last week, and I'm going to remind everybody that HRSA has recently announced a grant opportunity that tribes can apply for. That grant can be found on grants.gov, and that's under HRSA-20-135. And this grant is intended to provide the maximum flexibility to help tribes prevent, respond to, and generally prepare for COVID-19. They're anticipating to make 50 grant awards, and the awards are due for that on May 6th. So, again, the HRSA grant award is due on May 6th, so next Wednesday, and that's HRSA, so HRSA-20-135. Okay, sorry, there's a lot of announcements today, so just bear with me. SAMHSA has recently released grants, so we talked a little bit about that earlier. A&A alluded to that, and we just wanted to flag it too. So SAMHSA recently released grants for $22 million. They also added monies to the Native Connections program. So if you're involved in those programs, we have gotten word that those were recently released, and we just wanted to flag that for the Title VI team also. The next thing I wanted to talk about is cell phones and internet access in Indian country. We have been working with the FCC and Lifeline and some other programs about how we can, and we're going to work with AARP on how we can bring cell phones and kind of get those connections in Indian country. We know that's a thing that people are thinking about. And so because Title VI is doing that work, what we want to do as kind of next steps is, if that's something you're really interested in, can you send an email to somebody on the Title VI team so we can get your contact information in kind of a queue to know who to follow up with? Just, we're going to gather some general information, and we'll make sure we share everything with everybody. But if that's something that you're particularly like, yes, that is for me, cell phones, internet, bring it on, tell me everything, we want to make sure that we specifically can follow up with you and just to know who those people are so we can provide the best TA possible. So just let us know if that's something you're super interested in. The other thing we're really excited to announce is that we're working on a Title VI, what we're calling a Title VI Learning Collaborative. And this will be a new program that will be run out of our office, or a restarted program that will be run out of our office. And the purpose of this program will be to get experienced Title VI directors and new Title VI directors connected together. So if you're a new Title VI director and you're like, oh, I wish I have a question about elder codes, or I have a question about nursing homes, or whatever the thing is that you have a question about, the idea would be for us to kind of help you navigate those waters by getting you in contact with an experienced Title VI director so you can do more peer-to-peer learning, because that's definitely better than me telling you what to do. It's better to hear from each other. So if you are an experienced Title VI director and you think you if you have time or would be willing to help us out by kind of mentoring, please let us know. If you're a new Title VI director who would really like to be kind of connected with an experienced Title VI director, also let us know so we can kind of get those two lists together and start thinking about how we can best do that. The other thing we're excited to announce is that we would like to continue having these weekly calls post-COVID. So after this crisis is over, we realized that having these weekly calls with the Title VI team has been so helpful in hearing what's going on in your community and answering your questions, that we would like to continue these after COVID. Now, we don't know when we're going to pivot to the new format or non-COVID format, but we just wanted to let you know now that once the crisis has passed, we would like to continue having weekly calls with folks, just so that we can continue getting your questions generally about Title VI and continue learning from each other. The other thing that we wanted to talk about, excuse me for just one second. Sorry, everybody, I had a cough. We wanted to started to talk about reopening because it came up last week, and we just wanted to let you know that ACL is developing guidance for reopening congregate senior centers, and we are working with FEMA and CDC to accomplish this. Final decisions about reopening will be made from tribal leadership, and we understand that. However, we encourage you to work with we encourage Title VI programs to work with their tribe to understand when it's safe to begin regular service again. We also realize that states resuming normal operations does not mean that the tribe within the state will do that so at the same time, and our guidance will urge support and safety for all seniors, staff, and communities. So we understand that there's a need for reopening guidance, and we're working on that, but we just wanted to give you those kind of guardrails right now. Another thing, the last thing I'm going to kind of talk about before I turn the call over is we wanted to, again, I really appreciate hearing from tribal leadership. We're so honored to have tribal leadership on these calls. So if you have a tribal leader who has input in your communities and will just wants to share generally with the group, again, star one and get in the queue because we really want to hear from you. And so at this point in the call, I am actually going to turn it over to Jean Lloyd. Jean, are you on the call?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yep. And so, folks, Jean, is it okay if I turn it over to talk about that resource from the National Resource
Center
on
Nutrition? Okay. Sure.
It's all for us.
I just wanted to let the network know about some resources that ACL has been developing and that are on the National Resource Center on Nutrition and Aging. And their website is nutritionandaging.org/COVID-19. And one of the documents that was posted this week was a document on calorie intake requirement during COVID-19. And the reason that document was put up on this website is under the flexibilities under the various funding sources was that if people were providing meals, no meal could be under 534 calories. So this document looks at how many calories are in various foods. And so it tells you how many calories are in apples, how many calories is in a slice of bread, et cetera. And so it's a very nice document both for this time, because then it gives some examples of what a meal would be and how many calories would be in a meal. But it also is a good document to use at any time when it is not COVID, so that you understand how many calories are in your meals and whether they're coming primarily from fat or from protein or from carbohydrate. So I just wanted to call people's attention to that. But also, if you go to this website, and I'll tell you again, it's nutritionandaging.org/COVID-19. There are also other documents there about the nutrition requirements for the DRIs and DGAs, a guide for working with restaurants and grocery stores, tips for purchasing meals. It's a number of different documents that ACL has put together that you might find useful. Thanks a lot, Jasmine.
You're welcome. And I think at this point we wanted to turn it over to Q&As with particular emphasis on hearing from tribal leadership. So once again, if you're a tribal leader, please do not be shy about telling us what's going on within your communities.
Thank you. And once again, if you do have any questions or comments, please press star 1 on your telephone. Please unmute your phones and state your first and last name when prompted. Again, that is star 1 if you do have any questions or comments. Chairwoman Cecilia Flores, you may go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Cecilia Flores, Tribal Chairwoman from the Alabama Coushatta Tribe of Texas. In East Texas. Thank you for your time with the on the call today. I just want to give an update on our activities. We do delivery, home delivery for lunches. We take extra precautions with our elder population. We also do the grocery runs for that population. We're looking at expanding that program a little bit more to provide care packages and items that they may need at the home, some extra, you know, things to keep them occupied. But I appreciate everybody's time and attention. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, that is star 1 if you do have any questions or comments. Karen Torrance, you may go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you. My first comment, and then I have my question, is to just say thank you to Jasmine. What great information. I love it all. I love the peer-to-peer training. I'm excited about that. I am experienced, but not to experience where I would not welcome a mentor. I'm equally excited about the continuing with the weekly calls. That is awesome. My question is for Jean, and I believe that was her name, that gave the information, the website, which is dynamic for just calorie intakes and knowing, even after, again, after this COVID-19. Could you just, what I have as the email was nutritionandolder.org. Can you just give it to me again, please?
Sure. I'll give it to you again. It's nutritionandaging, all one word,
okay,
.org / COVID-19. Let me repeat that again.
Okay.
Nutritionandaging.org / COVID-19. And that's a backslash, too. I think it's going to be in Cynthia's email blast as well.
Okay, good.
So if I haven't been clear, it will be there as well.
I thank you all very, very much.
And this is Jasmine, and before we take our next caller, can I just remind folks that if you're not speaking, to mute your line. We had a little bit of white noise
in the beginning, and I just want to make sure we don't have any. So I just thank you.
And we do have one more question. Ileana, you may go ahead. Please state your last name.
Hi. Hi, my name is Ileana Montiel, and I'm Assistant Health Director and on Tribal Council for Confederated Tribes of Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Sayusla Indians. So I was just going to kind of give an update on where we're at. We're in Oregon. And we were lucky enough to work with our casino. When we shut down our casino, we took over their FSA food order. And so we did a big food box probably end mid-March. And had, you know, like 25 pounds of rice, 25 pounds of beans. And so they got a big shipment. And then about a week and a half ago, we did another shipment with cereal, oatmeal, things that were sustainable. And we were lucky enough to get eggs. And we're just doing another one starting on Monday that are some shelf-stable meals. They're like 7 meals in like pre-made boxes. And so they can just store them for whenever. They just kind of go in the microwave, and it's got milk and juice and an entree. So they've been very, very happy. In fact, I've gotten a couple emails from elders that said, you know, hey, we don't need any more food. We're good. So they're wanting us to kind of back off a little, which is great. And we have been able to get essentials for them as well. So we got some toilet paper and delivered some of that a couple weeks ago. So we haven't been able to do any on-site, so this is just a good way. And I have 3 community health aides, and we just make sure that we call in each location, that they reach out every week. We've encouraged them to FaceTime because a lot of the elders are lonely, and we've provided, like, activity books and Sudoku and adult coloring books to keep them active. So that's kind of where we're at with it. So I think ours are doing pretty good.
Awesome. Thank you so much for those that update. It's so helpful for us to hear that.
And thank you. Once again, that is *1 if you would like to ask a question.
And while folks are doing *1, this is Jasmine Applin. I just wanted to give another resource plug. We talked about it last week. But on Older Indians and on ACL.gov, we've posted a comprehensive FAQ document that deals with Title VI, and it kind of breaks it down by Part A, Supportive Nutrition Services, Part C, Caregiver, Personnel kind of questions. I think that document is like 10 pages long. And so my shameless plug is that if you have not done so, we encourage you to go look at that because it really has a lot of good information, and also because if there's holes in our information, if you could let us know what those holes in our information are so that we can get it updated and make sure that we fill those in, that's so helpful.
And once again, that is *1 if you'd like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Lonnie Gruttinger. You may go ahead.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. My name is Lonnie Gruttinger. I'm Vice Chairwoman for the Jamestown Squalum Tribe here in Washington State. And I had 2 brief questions about some information that was shared earlier. The first one is, can you go over again about there were some comments that are due today?
Yep. So this is Jasmine, and that was for the HHS budget consultation. So those were usually going to be in person, but because of COVID, HHS was taking their budget comments virtually.
Okay, great.
And did you have the email for that, or did you want me to read it again?
Can you read it one more time? Thank you so much.
No, that's fine. So those are due today, and it's at consultation@hhs.gov.
HHS. Great, thank you. And then my other quick question is, who should we contact directly about the internet access and cell phone interest for our community?
So I think the best thing to do is, like I said, we're blasting out some information, and I know that there's some FCC grants that are specifically for that purpose.
Okay.
So it would probably be best if you could just reach out to the Title 16 and we can get you in contact. I
I know we have her information, but I don't have it right in front of me. So if you have it in email, it's like a great, it's like a great visual reminder to get that off to you.
Okay, great.
On a list, because we want to make sure as we get ongoing information that we're blasting it out to the folks that are particularly in need of it.
Great. And just for a quick clarification, is the title 16, because should I go with the person who sent me the calendar invite for these calls, Laura Stevenson with TAIA Services?
That's fine. Yep, that's fine. You can send it to Laura or Cynthia or myself, whomever, and we'll get that called together for you.
Great. And then my last comment is that I am very excited about this learning collaborative because I am a newer administrator. So very much looking forward to that. Thank you for offering that to us.
Cool.
Thank you. The next question comes from Darren Zotai. You may go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hi, I'm Darren Zotai from the Kiowa Tribe. And my question is, first of all, I want to say that here at our local grocery stores, our eggs and toilet paper are like $9 a piece. So last week in a conference call, I made a suggestion as to whether or not we can do gardening, and agreed upon. It was a good idea. So I'm also asking in reference to that if we could maybe give the elders an option of a garden or a few chickens, a few chicks or something to help produce eggs.
I hear Cynthia laughing.
It's a bit extreme, I know.
That's a great suggestion, and I'm going to turn that question over to Jean Lloyd.
Oh, my gosh. Cynthia, this is within your office's jurisdiction. I'm a contractor, remember that. Thank you, Darren. I really appreciate the fact that you've asked a question that's sort of stumping us right now, which is why Cynthia sort of like dumped the question on me, because I don't think we've ever thought about that. Cynthia, do you think we need to think about that as a team a little bit more?
I think we need to think about it as a team a little bit more. Darren, that's such a fun question. But I do want to say, kind of leaning your direction, and Shelley Zylstra, if you're on, jump in. A couple of years ago, we had some extra money in a reservation in Oregon, and the question was, could we use that money to purchase cattle? And we couldn't find anything saying we couldn't. And Jean was involved in that discussion. We had great fun with it, but we couldn't find anything that said we couldn't do that. So that meant we thought that we could. But let's check into this a little bit more, and that's a really great suggestion. I have some chicken farmers on staff, as a matter of fact.
And this is Jean again. I think that is a wonderful question, and I think that it needs a little bit more thought. And I want to thank you for great questions.
I don't see it as being any different than we can plant a garden. We can buy chickens. But let's check. We'll check into it and let you know.
Right.
We'll make an announcement.
Yes. Cynthia, my initial thing is I agree with that as well. But I just think that, you know, that's your office's decision and maybe checking into it just to make sure.
I wonder if those chickens would then become federal property.
That or dinner.
I think it remains private property myself.
Would you like to go to the next question?
Yes, please.
Our next question comes from Terrence Manuelito. You may go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Terrence Manuelito from the Lakota Ray Tribe. So I think it was like a few weeks back, just touching up on that telecommunications issue. So we live in a rural area, and I know there were some other emails that have been distributed to our sites regarding help or assistance to the state. But a few weeks back, I believe somebody brought up the issue of providing cell phones to elders. I know that we've encountered one issue with an elder who doesn't have a way of communication I wasn't sure how that was supposed to be like an oversight or how we'd be able to regulate that, considering, you know, do we buy them a track phone or a normal work cell phone that would be like how our employees use. And also, one more thing, Jasmine, regarding the FAQs for Title VI, is there a way to our? I know you kind of went over that site kind of fast, but is there a way we can get some type of like a resource list with those things that you were mentioning? And then do we work with our regional Title VI reps, or is there anybody within ACO? And that's all I had. Thank you.
So this is Jasmine, and about the cell phone thing, I think what we were trying to get at is the funding opportunity. So I think we know that FCC has put out a different funding opportunity for Lifeline, and that we wanted to get that to you. And there's also some information. They have, like, eligibility criteria that seem to really overlap with what our elders could experience. And so I think if that would be something you're interested in getting more information from them, just so you can have another potential funding source for these types of programs, that's the kind of thing that we really want to follow up with you about. And then your question about the FAQs, those were actually on the Older Indians website, which is the website for our Title VI program for the federal, from the federal perspective. And then we have a COVID page within that. We can also send you the link. We can blast, we can send the FAQs out in our Title VI blast. Do you receive those?
I do. I just, you know, there's so many different emails and out there that it's sometimes it's kind of overwhelming. But I mean, like, I think you kind of went through that a little fast, so I didn't hear that last part. But yes, I do get those emails.
Cool. So we can send those out, and then it's also on the Older Indians website and also on ACL.gov. So those are two places where the Title VI FAQs live, and we can send those out again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Cool. Yes, and I'm going to jump in here quickly about Lifeline, and we will send out a blast on Monday or Tuesday with this information. But just a little piece of what Lifeline is. Lifeline is a service of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, and the purpose is to make communications more affordable to customers. Within FCC, and I don't know their structure enough to be intelligent here, but there's a program or another branch called the Universal Service Administrative Company, and they're USAC. They talk about a USAC. They have a service or a program where individuals can apply for assistance in paying for a phone or internet connection. Eligible customers get up to $9.25 off their bill for plain old everyday customers. If you're an Indian and you live on tribal land, you can get $34.25 off your monthly bill, because we want you to have a source of communication and we want you to have internet access. So check out, go on the internet and look up FCC, look up Lifeline program. I've got it on my screen here, and I just looked up Lifeline support program. And there's an application for folks to fill out. Lifeline then actually pays the provider. So if you've got a bunch of Verizon customers in Montana, if you've got Nemont customers, Lifeline would contract with your provider and pay them on your bill. It's a great opportunity. And what we were thinking was, and Larry Curley and NICOA is involved in this and will actually be leading the charge for us, but what we're thinking is that right now with COVID money, we could purchase cell phones because it's an emergency. We want folks connected. Then if we can get a phone in hand and get people signed up for this Lifeline program, that will pay for the monthly bill, because after this emergency is over, we won't be using regular Title VI money to pay for telephones and telephone bills for individual elders. So we're putting together all the pieces. We're also going to meet with AARP next week, and most of you know they have a cell phone for seniors. I think they call it Jitterbug. We're going to learn more about that and see if there's a way to coordinate between NICOA, between AARP, between Lifeline, and with us on the fringe, because we're feds and this isn't something we would normally do except during COVID. So stay tuned. We're hoping within another week or two that we will have much more knowledge and opportunity to pursue this and to actually start pulling it together for you. But in the meantime, look up this website and think about your elders who have no cell phone or have no phones and have no internet access, and look at the application procedures and go ahead and fill out an application for them and get them on the program. That isn't something you need our help to do. Thanks, Jez.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Petra Harmon-Wantrock. You may go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to share in regards to the chickens. My area of interest is food sovereignty, of course, and then we have requirement for traditional foods. So under our program, we have the traditional foods pathway program, and I also have a garden coordinator who works for me part-time, and I am able to hire him under the community services block grant, the CSCG, which addresses food security. And then we also run the Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program that gives out $50 vouchers for vegetables under the USDA. And not too many tribes have applied for that, so I really encourage for tribes to look into that in the next couple years. And then we're also working with a local nonprofit trying to get our farmers market up and running, and that was one of my suggestions that I shared with them, was just suggesting that they really look into chicken coops and then asking other community members if they're interested in that. So I was happy to hear that.
Great, Petra. Thank you.
This is Jean again. I just wanted to say Petra's tribe is one of only five tribes that are part of the Senior Farmers Market program. So yes, it is not a program that is widely done in Indian country.
And it should be, and yay, Standing Rock Sioux Tribe.
Yes.
Thank you. And once again, that is star one if you do have any questions or comments. Our next question comes from Chauncey Chang. You may go ahead.
Hi, my name's Chauncey.
Chang, a voice out of our past.
Yeah. Once in a while, dinosaurs emerge. And I've been a longtime advocate along with my aging issues, especially in Indian country and in Asian Pacific communities. And I retired about 10 years ago, but once in a while, something stirs me, and I try to come out of retirement just for a few weeks, few days, whatever it takes. And I have a granddaughter who's an activist, and she brought to my attention some really devastating stories coming out of Navajo Nation. And my question, and I tried to reach people that will still talk to me, what's happening in Indian country, not only with the elders, but with communities in general relative to COVID-19? Are they being treated like second-class citizens, so there's no real assistance to those so infected? Is there testing? Is there, you know, contact, whatever it might be? And so I've just been trying to do some research before I go off the deep end and try to get Congress to do something. So I talked to Leslie Tenoy, actually. We've created messages, and she sent me this site or this conference call information. I thought, wow, what a way to get a handle on what's happening in Indian country, because it's always been our opinion that Title VI is really the pulse And, you know, it's one quick place to find out what's happening. So that's why I listened in on the conversation to date. I just wanted to introduce myself and try to find out more information is how prevalent is the Navajo Nation experience with the rest of Indian country.
And this is Jasmine, and I think that's a fantastic question. I mean, I don't think that's one we can answer from the federal perspective. I think that it's much better to have people press star one and chime in if you can. It would be really interesting to hear about other people's experiences. I think that's part of what we want to do on these calls.
Chauncey, this is Cynthia. I'm looking for your email and not finding it, and I know we've communicated kind of recently, but we have a spreadsheet of information that we have gathered from tribes on their COVID experience and status and issues, and I want to send that spreadsheet to you because that will that'll provide a whole lot of information. But we do have several tribes, and I don't want to compare our misfortunes, but there are several tribes who have huge concentrations of this virus. And, of course, Navajo, Hopi, Zuni, White Mountain, tribes in Wyoming, it's everywhere. And we've created this tool on our website and sending out through our blast, our newsletters, asking for tribes to give us their status. So I want to share that information with you. And
when this call is over, Cynthia, I will send you my email address. And okay. I think I actually called you yesterday. I can't remember anymore. Trying to reach you, but you know,
I was on one of these conference calls.
But yeah, I figured.
I don't want to eat up all your time, but I want to tell you who this man is. This guy helped with getting Title VI. This guy helped with getting several increases in Title VI. This man used to work with Senator Inouye. This man was one of our leaders in aging and one of your most active advocates out here in Washington, D.C. and on the Hill. Larry, did you want to jump in?
Well, I really appreciate it. Yes, and I think that he's been a very valuable member of the Aging Network and has helped, has had a key role in a lot of these issues. And there is some information, but it's not. One of the problems that I'm having is that a lot of the state numbers in terms of the COVID epidemic, they're not breaking it down by race too much. They just say, X number in the particular county. And, for example, with the Navajo Nation does theirs through the Department of Health. And so that's where the information is being gathered, but not necessarily at the state level.
Excuse me, Larry, this is Chauncey, and so good to hear your voice. It's probably been 100 years since you and I have spoken. And I was wondering, is there any federal activity focused on this issue, the issue being the containment, the management of COVID-19 in Indian country? Is anyone on the Hill pushing it? Or I just been out of contact for so long, I don't know. I might have figured you probably would, or Cynthia certainly would, if you could speak sometime about it, and I'll call her privately. Just wondering, trying to get the lay of the land so I don't screw things up.
I'm going to pull together a call with us, Chauncey, with Larry and you and me and Bill Benson.
Okay.
I think it's a great idea, Cynthia.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay.
I'll send you my contact information, Cynthia.
Thank you, dear. All right.
Thank
go ahead,
everybody.
Jasmine.
Appreciate it.
All right. We have 8 minutes left, and I know, Cynthia, you have another call at 4, and I do too. So maybe we can take 2 or 3 more and then turn it over to Mr. Curley for closing remarks.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Rexley Jim. You may go ahead, sir.
Talk about royalty.
This is Rexley Jim. I'm listening in on behalf of the Navajo Nation President, Jonathan Ness. And I just wanted to give you my email address so the person who asked the question about how prevalent is the Navajo Nation's experience, when we can respond to you. And that's rexleejim@gmail.com. One more time, rexleejim@gmail.com. Thank you.
You're on my list, Rex, and I'm going to send you information of all kinds.
Wonderful.
Can I say something here, Cynthia?
Excuse me?
And I'm just going to greet my uncle in Navajo. Good to hear your voice.
Oh.
I don't get to greet you in Navajo, but it's still good to hear your voice. Go ahead, Jasmine.
All right, I think we have time for 1 or 2 more. Thank you.
Petra Harmon-Wantrock, you may go ahead.
Hello, I just wanted to add that very honored, first of all, that there's so many trailblazers on this call, and I just want to say that I really love my job and that this is truly a hidden gem in Indian country in regards to public health, and that's the greatest call for our Indian country is that we really need to start building public health capacity. I'm also the planning section chief for our incident command system for Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. And I went through pandemic training when I was in medical school, and I was horrified to learn that we were not even on the radar in regards to the plans that the states had in regards to surplus and stockpile. And I know that's hard for Indian country to even think about that when we're struggling. So many of our people struggle for their basic needs. And so I think on the federal level, we really need to address that. In order to address health disparities, we do that through health equity. And then of course, through building public health capacity. And of course, nationwide, that's lacking, which is why, a big reason why we're in this situation that we're in is because public health isn't supported enough. So I just wanted to share that. I just had a call with the state and those stereotypes that the states have that Indian Health Service provides all the health care for Indian country. And yet Indian Health Service is severely under budgeted and only serves the people who utilize their services. And so I shared with the state, the issue was jurisdictional issues in regards to contact tracing. And I shared that under the Public Health Service Act, the tribes are public health authorities. And so tribes, to me, really, and by us exerting that we're a public health authority, we did do HIPAA training for our different departments and also in our communities to remind them that because you fall under the tribe, you fall under HIPAA too. And so by doing that, we're able to open the door to have our own entity then who will step in to provide services for contact tracing when it comes to filling in the gaps between IHS and the state. So that's all. I know we only have a little bit of time left. Thank you.
Good stuff, Petra. Thank you. And Jasmine, my call isn't until 4:10, so I can stay on a little bit more.
Okay, cool. Oh, that's good. Well, I've talked to Elena at 4, but I'm sure Elena will forgive me. She's very forgiving.
We have a little more time, do we have any other questions?
And once again, that is *1 if you do have any questions or comments. Bill Benson, you may go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I just wanted to let Cynthia and Larry and company know that I'm on the call so that when you set up that call, Cynthia, to talk about the Hills response, I heard, and I'll be ready to join you when you set that up.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
And at this time, I am showing no further questions.
Well, this is Jasmine, and before I would turn it over to Larry, I just have to comment. Cynthia, we had, like, an incredible amount of Title VI royalty on this call today.
Oh. I know. I'm sitting here in a daze. I'm so excited.
Well, this is Jasmine, and so I'm going to turn it over to Larry, but before I do, I just want to let everybody, I just want to sincerely thank everyone for calling in and their participation, and also to let you know that even though the call is over, if you have a question, please feel free to email us so that we can get those into our next FAQ iteration, and also to let everybody else know if it's like a super exciting and relevant to everybody, we can get that information out to everybody else. And also, oh, yes. Please send us your emails if you would like to know more about the phones. We're going to get information to everybody about telecommunications, but if you're particularly interested, good to have a list of that. And if you're particularly interested in the mentorship Title VI Learning Collaborative type program, either as a mentor or a mentee, if you can let us know so we can get your email on a list. And without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Larry Curley for closing remarks.
Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, Cynthia, for being online. I just want to say and share with you my pleasure and my appreciation for your time. And what's really exciting to me is to hear, with all the stuff that's happening out there in Indian country, that we're still coming up with very creative ideas, such as the collaborative, all of those new kinds of ideas that's coming out of as a result of this pandemic. And I know that at this time it's probably trying for a lot of tribes, but we're managing to work through it, stand up and meet it head on and find all kinds of very interesting and creative solutions to those issues. The other thing that I just wanted to mention is, as the executive director of the National Indian Council on Aging, every 2 years we have a national conference on aging, and this year it's scheduled to be August 17th through the 21st in Reno, Nevada. At this particular time, I was just sharing with Cynthia earlier that there has been no decision made about that conference as it is. We're assuming and just going ahead as if it's scheduled as is. But we have a board meeting that will be happening in June, and they will make a decision as to whether they need to postpone it, reschedule it, or cancel it altogether. And so I just want to let everyone know that at this point it's still as is, but there's a great possibility that it will change. The last thing that I want to do as the director of the program is to subject our elders to some potential health hazards, depending on what happens later this summer. So with that, I want to say thank you again. Have a great weekend, and take care of yourselves, and we'll catch up with you next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
And thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may go ahead and disconnect at this time.